only thing better than watching TV is taking it personally.
You guys, it's Taking It Personally, a very chill and relaxed day with one of my very favorite chill and relaxed guests. I'm so excited to have him back. You know him as the founder and president of the Real Housewives Institute, the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Housewives, The Real Story Behind The Real Housewives, and Kyle Cook's number one fan. Welcome back to Taking It Personally, Dame Brian Moylan. Dame!
Oh, thank you so much. I call Kyle my imaginary husband.
Oh, kind of like Amanda.
Yeah, does that make me Kyle's imaginary husband?
Oh, does it? It might. I'm here for this math. This is science. I'm here for this. I'm here for this expansion.
Yeah.
I do have to thank you. I was running a minute or 11 late because my laundry room, which is like connected to my building, but you have to leave the building to get into it, has switched over to an app. So you no longer use quarters. You use an app, which actually I happen to enjoy because now we get alerts of like, how much time do you have left? Or if another machine is taken, you check the app. It's very organized in that way. But today I discovered an issue, which is that when my stuff is done, it doesn't release the washer for several minutes after. So I can't put in another load. So I was texting you being like, 5 more minutes, because I was just staring at my stuff, waiting for the app to like allow me to give it money again. I have found an issue with the app. That's the only issue I have so far. Actually, I was prepared to hate it, but I actually enjoy it.
I hate that everything has to be an app now. And my husband has a car here in London, and the parking garage made him get an app to like get in and out of the parking garage. The problem is it's a parking garage and there's no service. So how could you use the app?
That's not great. Has anybody asked them about parking garage Wi-Fi or whatever? What's their answer to that?
I have no fucking clue, but I try not to involve myself in the car. But yeah, when I go to the coffee shop, they're like, do you have our app? Do you ever? No, I don't want any more apps. I don't even want the apps I have. I would prefer zero apps unless they are bottomless apps at CGI Fridays. Those are the only apps that I want, like a chicken finger, mozzarella stick, spinach artichoke dip.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm hearing you. I'm into it. Yeah. I'm into it. Listen, I am so excited to talk to you about what I know is one of your favorite shows, one of my favorite shows, a show whose most recent episode I have watched no less than, I think, 3.5 times. I was watching it while I was waiting for laundry that should have been ready 10 minutes before it was. We have to talk about Summer House. I need to get a sense from you. This is sort of an odd question, but what have the reactions been to all things Lindsay and Carl? Like, have you noticed in the comments, have you noticed in your recaps a certain kind of through line of support? And has that changed as the season has gone on?
So I will say that as the season has gone on, there seems to be more and more Carl hatred, or not hatred, but like animus, let's say, but not necessarily for ending it, but for how it's going. But I will say, in general, as far as these things go on Bravo, people are being fairly level-headed about it and kind of seeing both sides and saying like, these two dodged a bullet. And I think that that is true of both of them, in that this is one of those rare Bravo breakups where it wasn't either of their faults. They were both just terribly mismatched. And so I think that people are being more understanding of that than I thought they would.
And also, they're both culpable in this. Like, not yes. only yeah, are yeah. they terribly, terribly matched, but I do think that there is shared culpability, and that has, to me, what what has made the season so interesting, because I remember when the breakup was first announced, it was a blindside. It was like, oh my God, how could Carl do this? Is this like fuckboy Carl, you know, that has come back to haunt us? Like, what is the vibe here? And then as the season began and episodes started, the whole, you know, Coke Carl stuff, I think a lot of people were like, wait a second, this was actually, this relationship was in absolute crisis well before this kind of like quote unquote whiplash moment, which I think has been sort of helpful for us to see of like, how do we calibrate and adjust our initial impulses and opinions when we have the benefit of more information?
No, absolutely. And so I moderated the Summer House panel at BravoCon this year, and it was the first time Carl and Lindsay had spoken to each other since the breakup. And Lindsay came in looking for the Ariana edit, like, I've been wronged, I'm wearing white to BravoCon because I couldn't wear white to my wedding, and like being and making bitchy comments on stage about Carl, whatever. And then I saw Carl in the elevator after the panel, and he was like, yeah, I feel like everybody's against me right now and saying that I blindsided her, but wait until you see the fights that we are having on the first weekend and whatever. And so I think that Carl is right, and that he was vindicated in his decision a bit to end this. And also, it seems like Lindsay has calmed down since then. And now when she's talking to the press, you kind of see her also acknowledging like, yeah, this wasn't right. I'm glad we didn't go through with it. And so, and it's the rare breakup where they both seem glad that they did it, where, you know, there's not one side that's necessarily aggrieved. And I think that that's a rarity for us, because we're used to dealing with, you know, Sandovals who are, you know, it's like, oh, okay, I get why you dumped him. He cheated on you and he was terrible. So yeah. And I do think that the fans are giving the Summer House kids way more equanimity than they give a lot of Bravo people. I think it also helps that this is one of the best and lightest seasons that we've seen in years, even watching it, knowing that it ends with them breaking up. Like, there hasn't been too much drama or fighting or darkness. It's just like cute and cunty, and I'm loving it.
Yeah, and I think aside from the Lindsay and Carl of it all, it's just like people making bad decisions, and we love that. We love that energy.
Yeah, yeah, and like, not even like terrible bad decisions. I want to see Kyle eating fucking chips and listening to Hans Zimmer soundtracks at 3 a.m, you know, and then like showing off his pasty ass in bed. You know, it's like, I want to see them go do fun shit. And I want to see West and Sierra make out. And yeah, it's just like, I just want to hang out with them. They just all seem so fun. And they seem like they're getting along as a group, like Lindsay and Paige, and those guys are hanging out. Like, yeah, it's like everybody in the house is kind of gelled together in a really nice way.
One of my favorite moments of the episode, and there were 30, but genuinely one of my favorite moments was when Lindsay was going in to like check on Gabby, and Paige says, you know, like, how was that conversation with Carl? And Lindsay just lights up and she's like, oh, it was great, I'll tell you about it later. There was just something about that.
Yes,
she was en route to this walk-in shower to comfort her friend, and Lindsay just being like, this it was such a great, it was a reset conversation, whatever else. And I'm thinking like, no, Carl hated every second of it. It was, but it was an LOL moment. It was a genuine laugh line. I laughed.
Well, and it was just so nice to see Paige care and Lindsay be excited that Paige cared, you know. And it, yeah. And like, they have never gotten along. And I totally understand why. Lindsay has never been particularly nice to Paige, and Paige hasn't particularly needed Lindsay's approval. But I'm glad that they've really come around and that everybody is getting along. Paige is out of the bed. Like, you know, yeah. Sierra's room hasn't been that messy. Like, it's, who are these kids? They haven't been Amazon boxes piled to the top. I'm like, what'd you do with the cast of Summer House? I don't even know what to do with these kids.
With all things Paige and Lindsay, how much do you attribute their getting along to the fact that, like, Paige doesn't want to fuck with Danielle? Or is that entirely separate? Like, does Paige need to have someone to target?
No, I think that it is related, but in a different way, in that Lindsay needed allies other than Carl. And so she's like, I need to be nice to people. And I think that the distance that they got from each other because of the Danielle thing kind of made them reexamine what was going on with it. But yeah, I also think that Paige is like, oh, Danielle's also crazy. And I don't know if I want to keep fucking with her.
Who do you think is going to be in hotter water at the reunion, Lindsay or Danielle?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, up until this point, it seems like Danielle, I don't think Lindsay has done anything to aggrieve anyone except Carl this season, which is very rare for her. And, you know, she's getting along with Amanda. She's getting along with Paige, getting along with Gabby. She's getting along with Kyle. Like, yeah, Danielle, I don't understand what's going on with Danielle, because I thought I knew Danielle. And the Danielle from last season of Winter House and this season of Summer House is someone who I don't know. And I'm not sure entirely what she's up to.
Did you watch Winter House? Like, did you watch every episode of it? What are your...
I recapped it for Vulture.com.
Okay, so I have not seen a single episode of any season, okay, aside from maybe the first episode, which I am convinced was an accident. Like, I just want to say for the record, I don't know why I'm so deeply invested in clarifying, but like, I just refuse to take it on. It was like a genuine personal affront to me where I was like, you cannot give me more of this. Like, I need to focus on Summer yes. House. I'm barely getting through it. Like, we need to, you cannot introduce another universe to me. So yeah. I haven't watched Winter House, obviously, nor have I had the pleasure of reading your recaps about Winter House, because I've just decided to stay entirely out of it. But I heard from people that Danielle was like a fucking mess on the last season. So I'm wondering how much of this is an extension of that. Like, how much time went by? Had she received any kind of, I don't know which was filmed first. I know how seasons work, so kudos to me. But
so they filmed Winter House, and then the season of Summer House we're currently watching before the season of Winter House that they had filmed aired. So she would not have received any like fan feedback, i.e. people yelling at her on Twitter, between filming Winter House and filming the next Summer House. So I think that if we're going to see a change in Danielle, we'd see it the next Summer House that we would see like next season. But I think the main thing about that was weird on Winter House was Danielle really wanted to like hook up with guys and hooked up with this guy Alex on the show, and you know, she was just like, I'm in my promiscuous era, whatever, but then was kind of trying to have a more of a relationship with him than maybe he wanted or she let on. And now we're seeing her still in her promiscuous era, which I'm fine with. But she doesn't seem to be wanting that relationship. But Paige is right. She is totally going in there telling everyone how to live their lives. And I think the difference is when your best friend is Lindsay Hubbard, all Lindsay Hubbard wants to do is talk about herself and her life and how to improve it. And so Danielle's saying, here's what you should do. Here's what you should do. Here's what you should do. And Lindsay's listening because it's about Lindsay. Whereas she does that to Paige. She does that to Gabby. She does that to the others. And they're like, shut the fuck up, Danielle. Like, I don't need to hear it from you. And yeah, so I think that's the big difference.
Do you think she was approaching the initial conversation with Gabby as a we're competing moment? Or do you think she was doing something else when it comes to Balloon Guy Joe?
I think she was really trying to help. She was hearing Gabby say, I want to, you know, meet more guys, hook up with more guys, whatever. And I think Danielle was misinterpreting that as like Gabby wanted to be slutty. And I don't think that that's how Gabby rolls. And I also think that Danielle and Gabby's ways of getting men are very different. Like Danielle is very straightforward. She goes for it. She flirts. Gabby wants to be pursued. She wants them to come to her. She wants to feel special. And so I just don't think Danielle was taking Gabby's personality into account when giving her advice. She was just saying like, well, this is what I do and it works for me. So why don't you do that? And I can see how with the drunkenness and the balloon guy situation, that all became kind of a fight. Because I think Gabby was holding in a lot of emotion about the sister finding the boyfriend, her and her not finding a boyfriend and all that stuff. And Danielle just brought it up. And because of the booze just allowed it all to kind of flow freely. So, because I think that they have that conversation afterwards. And Danielle was like, I was trying to help you, you know, do X. And Gabby's like, I don't want to do X. I want to do Y. And then Danielle was like, oh, okay, now I got it. And so I think that will be the end of that beef, I hope. Whereas I think her thing with Paige is probably going to linger a little bit longer.
I mean, I think the Gabby of it all is going to linger. And I don't
really.
Oh, 100%. Just based off of like some after show stuff, the Watch What Happens with Gabby and Lindsay. I think Gabby is annoyed at a lack of empathy that Danielle showed. And also like for Danielle to be like, I just need to be transparent. I also want to fuck this guy. And then not tell her the next day that they fucked and like not say, I don't know if there's a good way to say it, but like, I'm sorry I didn't comfort you, but I was, you know, trying to get laid with balloon guy Joe. Like there wasn't a great moment in which to say it, but it needs to be said that it wasn't. And when it comes to like quote unquote sluttiness, I mean, there's a way that I think the word has been redefined. There's an ownership of it. It's not to me meant to be derogatory. It's just like,
I think
when people talk about it, it's a sex positive way of just like a flippant way of saying like getting laid.
Yeah.
And I just think that they have different sex languages. Like it's not it's not a love language, it's a sex language. And Danielle is operating off of like, I am so forthright, which obviously is successful and good for her, that everyone needs to follow that rule, which is not true. Like that might be how you get someone at an alien themed party filmed for reality TV where everybody's looking to have a good time. But Gabby might not be operating off of that. And also, she might have changed her mind. Like, maybe their goals were different.
Absolutely. Gabby doesn't want to get laid. Gabby wants to get married. And like, and I think that that's the difference. Like, I think Gabby wants someone to come in, woo her. You know, it's the perfect guy. Take her away from it all, whatever. Danielle just wants to have fun and like fuck a bunch of dudes. And I think that both goals are totally fine and both ways of approaching it are totally fine. But Gabby does have to realize that if she wants people to pursue her and she wants to wait for, you know, a more perfect guy that she's going to have feelings with before she hooks up, it's just going to take longer. And that's not, doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just not going to be as immediate as Danielle going up to balloon guy and being like, want to fuck? And he goes, yeah. And then they fuck, you know?
Yeah, I don't.
Which is how I operate, by the way. I'm a Danielle. I'm like, do you want to make out? Okay, great.
No, I'm 100%, I'm 100% a Gabby. I'm 100% a Gabby.
Oh, I knew that was the case, that we are totally talking Danielle to Gabby right here.
I also don't have a flirt language. Like, I'm like that with Gabby, too. Like, I just speak to someone normally, and I have no idea if they're flirting back with me, usually until 6 to 8 months later. Like, I don't carry that kind of...
No.
I'm not fluent in that. So I was watching Gabby. I felt for Gabby at points. And I also understood some of what Danielle was saying of like, if it feels like there's a barrier in front of you, how are people supposed to know that you're interested in them? Conversely, I don't know that Gabby's like, I want to get married. And Danielle's like, I don't want that. I want to get laid. I think both of them, are looking for potential significant long-term relationships, just probably night. That night was not the night to like maybe meet your boyfriend because West is taken and I don't know where Jesse is. Like those are the only two to me possibilities of like seemingly like good guys or fun guys where there could be something else happening. A balloon guy, Joe, is he's there to do a job, you know, blow some stuff up and then go home.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing me with free samples. Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. It delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Living in New York City is not easy. Just ask Sonia trying to sell that house. There are so many mornings where I wake up and think, oh my gosh, I'm having the worst cold of my life. And I realize it's actually from allergies. When my nasal allergies flare up, and that happens when the season changes and the temps get a little warmer than they normally are, I use Astapro, and I'm amazed at how fast I'm back in the game. And that game is looking for Dorinda on the Upper East Side. Astapro always has my back and nose. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. I just came back from the salon, and for the record, I went with a sassy little bob and quiet luxury shade of blonde. Yes, that's literally what we're calling it, quiet luxury. Aside from trips to the salon, I don't actually blow out my hair. My hair is naturally wavy, and that's why I love Way. Way's new anti-frizz cream is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I know that I have a limited amount of time with wet, wavy hair in which to get myself in order. And that is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It has notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. And it smells unbelievable. Truly, as someone who is a little bit sensitive to scents, I put this in my hair and I feel great. It also genuinely pairs well with my perfume, which I appreciate. I don't blow out my hair because after years of color processing and attempting to make it straight, I know it looks better and stays healthier when I avoid blow drying, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. I've used products, especially with wavy hair, where it feels heavy and looks kind of wet. And that's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream, because it enhances the natural waves in my hair. I still look like me, just a little elevated. And P.S., I am way obsessed with Way's other bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, my personal favorite. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com with promo code Andy. Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andysgirls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andysgirls. Sign up today.
Absolutely, 100%. And Balloon Guy Joe is a guy you fuck around with, not a guy you marry, you know? Like,
yeah.
And I think Balloon Guy Joe knows that in this situation. And Balloon Guy Joe is there for a good time, not a long time.
I do think it matters that I'm closer to like Gabby's behavioral style when I was watching some of the Danielle Balloon Guy Joe stuff, because I truly like it was hard for me to look directly at the screen. I had to like look because I was so it's just there's something about it where I'm like, I'm not supposed to be watching this. Like it just it felt too close where I'm like, oh, my God, they're about to have sex. I did cringe. I clenched a little because I was like, it's just like, and God bless Danielle, again, more power to her. I'm just more tightly wound where I'm like, I cannot imagine doing this. But I do think, speaking of getting fucked, she got fucked by Bravo. And I don't know what her response to what they showed was, but I talked about this on a deep dive, like triage reaction episode that I recorded essentially a couple hours ago. And I heard from someone who commented on the like show thing on Instagram and said, you know, this is different from just someone than Bravo showing someone's ass. This was like Danielle, like essentially almost on all fours crawling toward the bed. I thought it was inappropriate of Bravo. This is like, I don't want to get into this thing where it's like you criticize this and then you're against someone getting laid. I am fully in support of everyone who wants to get laid, getting laid, and us hearing about it. I just thought what they showed was too much.
Yeah, well, like, it's like that thing with Jesse, where it's like, Jesse puts the towel over the camera, you hear him go, you're so good at that, and she goes, I know. And like, that's all we need to know. It's like, okay, they fucked. You know, like, I don't need to see it. I don't even need to hear it. But, you know, confirmation is nice. But, I don't think you need to go further than that. You know, and I do know that Danielle says, of all the shit we've seen her do on Summer House, or not Danielle, I'm sorry, Lindsay says, of all the shit we've seen her say and do on Summer House, the one thing she regrets is how much sex she had, like, on camera. Or that, you know, the camera saw her having sex. And I do think that, you know, it's one thing to know that she's fucking Balloon Guy. It's another thing to really see it. And that brings me to something about last night's Below Deck that drove me insane. Do you watch Below Deck?
I don't. But tell me, there was a boat there and there was a deck and people were below it.
Yes. So there's this woman, Barbie. She's a stew, and she's had this like season long flirtation with one of the deckhands, who's this Scottish guy who they had to blur him naked, and the blur went like past the knee. So, I mean,
good for her,
good for Kyle, right?
Hi, Barbie.
And so they, yeah. So Barbie supposedly has this like conservative dad, and she's, you know, been kind of making out with this guy and said she don't want to have sex on camera. And then the last night out, they got really drunk and went into the bathroom and fucked. And you don't see it, but you hear the kind of like, you know, like going on.
Brian's clapping.
And so, yeah, that was me clapping, not me fucking Barbie in a toilet. But I would. She's hot. She's hot. I would. So, but then she's like, oh my God, my dad's going to see it and he's going to be so ashamed of me and like whatever. And it's like, your dad knows you have sex and like the world knows you have sex and like your dad needs to just get the fuck over it. And you need to tell him to get the fuck over it, that you're an adult woman who has sex and he needs to deal with it. And, you know, but I think that that is more about the idea of whether or not she had sex as opposed to like how much we saw. Where I agree with you, maybe we saw a little too much.
But also if you're from a family where your parent or parents have, you know, a certain value set, which involves their child not being in explicit situations on TV, like in public. Reality TV is the biggest definition of sort of the idea of like, don't embarrass me in public. That
right.
Reality TV is like the worst possible nightmare for someone in that situation. So I don't begrudge her dad. I feel bad for her that she has to add on the idea of like, that she feels guilt or shame about this or tension about what's actually going to be shown. But I understand where that comes from, like the amount of pressure a person could feel.
Agree, especially for a woman. It's, you know, it's much, much harder to be labeled a promiscuous woman, et cetera, et cetera. But also, if you care that much, don't go on reality television. Because it's below deck. Like, have you not seen an episode? Like, they all hook up, they fuck, they get drunk, like whatever. And yeah, I don't know. Maybe, yeah. I just am much more sex positive than your average below deck dad. I Oh my God. If I had a kid and she went on below deck and did not fuck one of those guys, I would be pissed. I'd be like, you have a boat full of fucking hot dudes. Like, you better fuck one of them.
I also think like with the, you know, whatever Jesse did with like throwing a sock or a towel or whatever over the camera, like I listen, for all my like nervousness about yada yada, you know, getting my flirt on, I don't, when things happen, they happen. So it's like the idea of like, then just don't do it. Yeah, I think the closer option, as you said, is don't go on reality TV. Because if you're going on these shows where partying is at the heart of this, and there's,
yes,
you're with
an alcohol's at the heart of it, yeah, and you're gonna make bad decisions,
and you're in a group, yeah, of like attractive people, and then they're carting in other attractive people for your weekly rager, and everybody's like has green sequins and shit all over them, and people are just like having fun. And every, you know, it's grown ass adults. It's how do you not, yeah, like, how do you not,
yeah,
fall into this of like, yeah, I'm going to have fun. And having fun means like making the decision to like potentially get laid. Like, I understand how like things can happen. I just would be very, just personally would be very upset at Bravo not blurring out my ass before I fuck Balloon Guy Joe. And maybe Danielle is okay with it, but I'm not okay with it on her account. Like, I hope she's okay with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's her body, it's her life, but I think they went too far. I think the way that they showed it was too far, it was too explicit. And we knew she was gonna get laid. So it's like, it's not like we needed to see her crawling on the bed to him to know that it happened.
No. Well, and it's like, we could just see them like getting it on, and then in the morning you see him get out of bed naked and you're like, okay, I got it. But yeah,
we saw the thrusts, we didn't need all of it, we could have had like one of the above.
But how do you feel about them showing Kyle's butt all the time unblurred?
Well, so this is the problem, is that like, I also don't need that, but I don't know if this is,
I do,
okay. I don't know if this is like genuinely because I'm looking at it through a gendered lens, but, and it's because I'm thinking about the ways that women are held accountable and criticized more, or I'm just thinking of like the difference in asses and body parts when it comes to like showing men versus women.
Yeah, no, you're totally right about all that.
Well, but I don't know that I am. I just know that I personally am more upset about seeing Danielle because I feel like she's being taken advantage of by the edit, where I feel like they could have done, they did her a little dirty in showing that. They could have alluded to her getting laid in a variety of other ways. It's like they did all of the above instead of choose, like multiple choice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
D instead of like A, B, or C. And that to me was too much. But maybe that's unfair of me. I also don't need to see anybody. I don't need to see anybody's ass on Bravo. I'm sorry. Maybe.
Oh, I love a cheeky ass shot. But you are correct in that Danielle is going to face way more repercussions for her ass being on Bravo once than Kyle ever will for his ass being on Bravo 20 times, you know, like just because of society and gender and all that bullshit. And like, just because we don't agree with it doesn't mean that those things don't exist and shouldn't be taken into consideration.
Totally. And also, isn't Kyle's ass, correct me if I'm wrong, because now I'm forgetting, and how could I, hashtag never forget. But with Kyle's ass, isn't it more shown as an LOL? Because he's not really getting laid ever. So it's like,
no.
For him, like,
yes.
Being drunk or whatever. Danielle's was specific to about, like, fucking. Like, she was about to have sex or fool around or whatever. We don't actually technically know what happened, although we do. Like, it's Kyle's is more like a joke. He's drunk. He's a mess.
Yes.
Danielle's was more specific in a way that I love.
Well, and I think that also comes down to like the gendered whatever, in that like a guy's ass is funny and a girl's ass is sexy. And, you know, true. You know, and though I find some guys' asses both funny and sexy, like Kyle Cook's.
Okay, wait, I have so many questions for you, but I just need to ask, just like straight up, do you think that Kyle and Amanda are going to make it? I know that's an impossible question, but I'm just curious. Do you think that they are?
I 100% do. I really do. And I think that I see a lot of mine and my husband's relationship in Kyle and Amanda, and I'm the Kyle and my husband's the Amanda. And like, and I think that it can be negotiated. I'm glad they're in couples therapy because it's the best thing that we ever did as a couple. And it really set us up for success, you know, in a great way. And I just think that they both need to allow the other more room to be themselves, and that Kyle needs to let Amanda want to stay in and be boring and do what she wants and go to the suburbs. And she needs to let him go out once a month till 4 a.m. and do whatever. And they both need to be a little bit more cool with that. And I think that if they give each other a bit more slack, they'll be great. Also, she shouldn't work. They shouldn't work together. I said that from the beginning. This is a bad idea. And I still think that. I think that she, because they just want different things out of work. Kyle's always going to be a workaholic. And Amanda is not. She doesn't want that out of her life. And it's unfair of him to force that on her. And I think that him literally being her supervisor is putting him in a much more authoritarian role than is healthy for their relationship.
Totally. And if she feels like she's subservient to him, even in how the audience views her, of like she's just an extension to him, the worst case scenario is to continue that by having her work at Loverboy, noting that one of the big, big reasons that Loverboy took off was specifically because of its branding. Like, branding is at the heart of Loverboy's success. Amanda deserves a lot of fucking credit for that, but that doesn't mean she, because she's married to this man, she has to work for or with him on his brand.
No.
That's his dream. It's not hers. She doesn't always need to work and live in support of him, regardless of how alpha and extroverted he is. She has the right to say, you know what? There were other things that I dreamt for myself.
Yes.
And now that I'm on this big fucking platform, that might make it easier for me to like navigate how to achieve them. She has the right to decide
absolutely
the kinds of like boundaries she wants in her life, of how much she wants to work, where she wants to work, and he should support her in that. And it might be hard for him to find another graphic designer, let alone a creative partner, but he, as a husband and I think as a business person, needs to let her go. Like, they, he I don't want to see this become like a guilt trip situation. Like, I think she has the right, and he should support her. She's done enough to support him.
Yes. Well, and I worry about what happens with the kids. And then she's like taking care of the kids, and he's like, you haven't designed the new box. And she's like, I'm taking care of your fucking kids. You know, that's going to be a whole another sticky situation. But yeah, from the beginning, I was like, this is a bad idea. You should not be working together. And but I want to say that scene, the Old Navy commercial that we had to sit through. I mean, The good thing about it is I think that we don't give Amanda nearly enough props, not only like in her relationship with Kyle, in her role Loverboy, but also her role on the show. And that for so many years, she has been the linchpin holding together like Kyle, Carl, Lindsay and Sierra Page and everybody else. Like, she's rage texted at Kyle. She's given us great moments. She's funny. She's caring. Like, I think she on her own is a great reality television practitioner. And I feel like, though, you know, because she's always a little bit in Kyle's shadow, because Kyle is always crazier, louder, more than Amanda. But I think Amanda is just as good at her job as Kyle is. And I think we should give her more credit.
I love that you said that. That's lovely, Dame Brian.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm trying to get her so comfortable that she divorces Kyle so that I can have him. That's my... You know, I'm really trying to get her feeling it. Be like, I don't need this man. I'm leaving. And I'll be like, hey, Kyle, what's up? I love you.
And Kyle knows that you love him, right? I'm trying to remember if there was a moment of this during the panel.
Yes, there was. And well, and I've interviewed him before. And like, I always post jokes and I tag him. And he like reposts them or responds to them. And he knows that it's like in good fun. And you know, I don't really mean it. And but then when we were on the panel, I asked Amanda, I was like, can we like husband swap? Like, can we trade? And she's like, I'm in. She's like, I will sit at home with your husband and you can go out with Kyle. And I was like, this sounds like a dream come true.
I have to say, I think Summer House as a cast, as an ensemble and as a show has maybe the best sense of humor of any
100%
show on Bravo.
Yes. And they don't seem to take the reality aspect of it too seriously in that it's like, yeah, they know they're on the show and they're doing the show, but there's everybody has something outside of the show that is more important to them. And I think that that is a really good vibe to have when you see so many of the shows. So many people are so like Southern Hospitality where they're so fucking thirsty for it. It's like, oh, leave me alone.
I haven't seen it. There's a lot of Bravo sort of extension shows that I just, not to put Below Deck in that category, because Below Deck is a huge, huge, huge franchise. But just like with Southern Hospitality, you know, Winter House, I just, there's only so much capacity that I have spiritually to engage. I have to disengage.
No, I completely agree with you. And there are some where I'm just like, I'm not watching that. I can't. Like Family Karma, people love it. But I was like, no, I can't with Family Karma.
Oh, I liked Family Karma. I didn't watch the last season and I really want to, but I've really enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not saying it's a bad show, but I just can't.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, I can't watch literally everything on Bravo. I can't watch Backyard Envy. I'm sorry. Like. I can't. I'm just not gonna.
Wait, okay. Before we wrap, I do need to get your thoughts on the last scene, because I think that has inspired a lot of conversation between Carl, his mom, and his stepdad. There does seem to be a belief among some segment of the audience that it went too far in how
really?
They talk about Lindsay, or like in Carl having... maybe an idea that this breakup was happening and a knowledge of what his parents were going to say. I don't entirely understand that opinion, but I know that it exists. And I was curious just for your reaction to that moment and what was discussed about all things Lindsay and Carl.
There was a big discussion in the comments of my recap, people saying they thought it was staged or they thought it was rehearsed, or they thought it was scripted. And like, listen, we all know that the shows are produced and that the three of them knew that they were about to sit down and talk about Carl's relationship. And I'm sure that they had all planned thoughts for that discussion. But do I think that there was any collusion where Carl was like, oh, So I know I'm going to break up with Lindsay. So now you have to pretend to be like this, and you have to pretend to be like this, and you have to ask me this, and I'm going to respond like this, and that's going to make us look like XYZ. No, I don't think that that's how these people operate, how the shows really operate. And also, could you imagine Carl trying to act? You know, like, not really. I love him, but no. And so, but I think that what that stepfather had to say was very brave of him, and to do it to Carl's face on television. Carl even said this guy hasn't been around. It's not like he's been a stepdad since he was a kid. Like, this guy's only been around for a few years, but I think somebody needed to tell Carl those things. But I also think that what was good about it was they were never like trashing Lindsay. It was like, you two are not on the same page. Like, this is not a good match. It was never like, Lindsay's not good enough for you. She's crazy. She yells too much. She won't stop drinking. Though there was some discussion about how Carl felt about her sobriety, or lack thereof, as I think there should be. But I thought it was a really good, real conversation. And if that is what got the ball rolling to get Carl to call it off, then he needs to give Lou a very expensive watch for his birthday. Because, yeah, he earned it.
Yeah, and you look to your parents for counsel, and obviously they can only do, they can only respond to what they have heard and what they've heard from him, but it doesn't mean that they were wrong. And them only hearing a certain amount from him still means that that is what, that's what Carl is telling them. I don't know that we really need Lindsay's perspective at this moment, because the importance here is that they see that this is a toxic situation that can't move forward. And as you said, they're not saying Lindsay sucks. They're not saying Lindsay is the devil. They're saying this relationship is not healthy. And you thinking that marriage is a sign of like forced adulting is inaccurate, and it's actually the opposite. It's going to get so much harder and more complicated after you get married. So if you guys are not on the same page in any way about significant stuff in your relationship and you haven't had these conversations, you absolutely should not be moving forward. And I in good faith, in every sense of the word, would not marry you, because I know that this should not exist at this moment. They weren't saying break up with her, which I am saying.
Right. Which I would have said. Yeah.
Which I would have said. They gave her a lot of grace to their relationship existing. They're not saying you shouldn't be with each other, although they are saying what you're talking about, the way you're talking to us about your relationship is very concerning. But they're not saying break up with her. They're saying put the brakes on this a little bit. You went in a little too quickly, and there are some tough conversations that need to happen regardless.
No, absolutely. And I think that, remember earlier in the season when Lindsay tells Paige like they only have sex like once every 2 weeks, and Paige is like, I'm going to do the girl math. She said it's once every 2 weeks, which means it's really only once a month. And I think that's true with like what Carl is telling his parents. Like, if they think their relationship is that bad, based on what I would assume is a somewhat sanitized version that Carl is giving them, then, you know, if they knew the stark reality, I think that they would have, you know, felt even more strongly. But what's so great about this season is, you know, there are those seasons you watch where, you know, like Taylor Armstrong's husband ends up dead at the end. You know what I mean? And like, you feel a little like icky that, you know, you're going to this place where Jen Shaw's arrested, for example, you know, and that real nefarious things happen. This is the good example of watching something unfold that happened for the best. Like, you know, we are watching them break up, and we know it's hard, and we know it's terrible, and we love them both. But at the end of the day, we know that it's a good thing. And I think that's what has allowed this season to still be so light and so fun, with the central drama of it being this couple falling apart right before their marriage.
Yeah, and Lindsay got into it a little bit on Watch What Happens with, like, the whole, you know, it was tough to watch. I have or had a relationship with his parents. You know, I thought that there was a certain amount of love there. She also said, I didn't think it was essentially appropriate that they went on the wedding trip, which a lot of people did, Gabby included. And with that, I do have to push back a little bit, because if you guys waited or whatever to cancel your wedding after people could have gotten their money back, and you know, these aren't necessarily people who have thousands of dollars that they are
right.
willing to waste on a trip that they could still take. I saw nothing wrong with Carl's parents going on that trip, because the wedding isn't happening and you've cost a lot of people a lot of money. It doesn't mean you need to be dragged to hell forever, but I also don't think it's inappropriate to take that trip. The money is gone regardless. You're not getting married. Gabby went on the trip. I saw nothing wrong with that. She's one of Lindsay's like best friends on the show, and maybe IRL. I saw nothing wrong with it.
And did Lindsay go on the wedding trip?
No, but she went on, I think,
the honeymoon.
The honeymoon with like a group of friends, which she has every right to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't love the whole like they did something wrong by going on that trip. I understand why Lindsay feels that way. I just strongly disagree. I think like
yeah.
a lot of people spent a lot of money on a wedding that got canceled. I'm not saying you're a piece of shit from that. I'm very happy the wedding was canceled. But also people are out thousands of dollars and they yeah. don't need to just take that on the chin in addition to whatever other money they've spent on you guys, which you know has exists because this wedding didn't take place. I didn't think it was a sign of poor character on that part. I just thought it was a sign of poor timing with the timing of the breakup happening after the point in which people could have gotten their money back. So that's just my two shekels. You can hear more of my shekels on a two-part Patreon spectacular that's up now. I talk about this, also a long ago discussed Southern Charm Potomac comparison that's been percolating, cooking in my brain. So you can listen to that two-part spectacular up now at patreon.com/andyscrolls. Dame Brian, where can AGs and tippers sign up for your newsletter, follow you on social, read your recaps, mention it all?
I am Brian J. Moylan on all social media platforms, and we're relaunching my Housewives Institute Bulletin newsletter. We got a new logo. We're doing things a little bit differently, and we're going from once a month to every other week. So you can sign up for that at vulture.com/housewives. The first new one comes out Friday, May 10th.
Oh my God, that's so exciting.
Yeah. The logo is super cute. I can't wait for everybody to see it. Yeah. Because our logo was so ugly for so long. I'm like, it was some like rainbow lady. I don't even fucking know what it was. They finally hired a Bravo person in the art department at Vulture who like gets it. So yeah.
Oh my God. Well, mazel of the day to you. That's super exciting.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks to you for listening to this episode. Follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley and Allegedly Threads, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.